And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Okay, let me tell you what I'm looking at this morning. I'm just like you are. I learn things and I have to like practice it and put it through repetition. So don't tell Randy that I'm using his calculator. He might, because I didn't ask permission. So I hope he doesn't mind. It's right here on the control panel. Anyway, let me tell you what I'm looking at. I have an article here, and it says article number 6 of 2024. So if they published one journal, well, no, I don't know that. It's just sometime in 2024, so that is my way of saying this came out this year. How about that? The journal is called Cardiovascular Diabetology, okay? It says volume number 23, so I really don't know if it was just done. It could have been published on January the 1st of 2024. Anyway, this is something brand new to me, but I got to admit, I like it because I'm kind of playing with these numbers right here. But this literally relates to each and every listener this morning. Well, maybe not every listener. If you're 3 years old and you haven't had a blood test, well then, how are you supposed to, you know what these numbers and ratios mean? But anyway, here's what I want you to think about. You're probably going to agree with me that nobody wants to have a stroke. Nobody wants to have a massive fatal heart attack. Nobody wants to have a blood clot. And of course, you know what I'm referring to. I'm referring to anything that'd be related to cardiovascular disease. Just like if I told a person, do you want to have dementia or Alzheimer's? Well, the answer is no. Nobody wants to have that. So sometimes you need information to help you understand what's really going on in your body. Folks, you don't have to be in denial. All you got to have is a little bit of education. And so there's a new, they call it an index or a biomarker. And I find this so interesting. So here's what the title of the article says. I know it's a little bit wordy, but we're gonna discuss it and kind of work through it pretty simply. Here's the title. Oh, here it is right here. I just now saw it. It was published January the 3rd of 2024. Here I was trying to find out when it was published, and it's right here in front of me. Published the 3rd of January of 2024. So anyway, that's hot off the presses. Actually, it's off the presses cold because it was January. It's cold then. The title of the article in this cardiovascular diabetic journal is this: Relationship Between Triglyceride Glucose Index. That's what I'm going to be talking about just briefly. I'm not going to wear you out with it, but I'm going to give you a little bit of information. Relationship between triglyceride glucose index baselines and trajectories with incident cardiovascular diseases in the elderly population. Now, you're probably thinking, what are they trying to say? They're just saying this is an easy way to determine who's going to be at risk for having a stroke or a heart attack. And the way they do that is, and I'm going to just go slow. So if you happen to have a recent blood test, or let's just say you had one that was done a year ago, there is a very simple, straightforward test called a lipid profile or a lipid panel. And usually in that blood test, they'll measure total cholesterol. Then they may have your triglycerides listed, and they have what's called high-density lipoprotein. That's usually HDL. A lot of times they like to call that the good cholesterol, which I'm not going to argue with that right now. Then they measure what's called LDL, low-density lipoprotein. A lot of times that's referred to as the bad cholesterol. I don't know that if I want to necessarily agree with that. And maybe I'll explain some of the research behind that and that's how I came to that conclusion. So all they're doing is this right here. And so I'm just going to make up a number. So let's say, for example, and I'm basing this on a blood test I looked at yesterday. Let's say there's a man that has his triglyceride levels are exactly 127, okay? I type in 127 into Randy's handheld calculator here from Office Max. And so what you do is you multiply the triglycerides. In this gentleman's case, it was 127. And we multiply that by the fasting glucose. And so his fasting glucose was 102. Rats, already messed up. 127 times 102. I come up with a number, 12,954. But you do your own numbers for you. Okay, once you get this number, in my case, it was the fasting triglycerides of 127 times his fasting glucose at 102, and then you divide it by 2,000. Okay? I come up with the number 6.477. Now, you're going to ask me what this means, and so, according to the study, the higher that number goes, the greater risk a person's going to have of having some type of cardiovascular disease. Do we want that? No. I personally want everyone to age gracefully and to have the full function of their mind and their body. You know, because, folks, time here on Earth is short. You're going to turn around and blink, and you're going to be 60 years old, then you're going to be 70, and then 80. Or for you young people out there, you're going to be 21, and then you're going to be 30. And you're going to wonder where the time went. Anyway, we don't need to be the most diseased people on Earth. Whatever happened to just a little bit of common sense and logic and reasoning and... Did I mention common sense yet? Anyway, so this gentleman's number is 6.477, okay? Well, according to the study, anything above 4.5, folks, you're asking for problems. Optimal is 3.5 or below. That's actually better. And so let me do this a different way. What if you said that your triglyceride levels were right at 70, okay? If we multiply that by, let's just say your glucose was 81, just making up a number, I come up with 5,670. If I divide that by the number 2,000, I come up with 2.835. That's perfect. So you see why we're talking about this? I mean, if you asked me, what can I do to help myself? Well, if you look at the basic risk factors for who's going to have all the cardiovascular problems, well, what's it going to be? It's going to be a sedentary lifestyle. Well, is a sedentary lifestyle, is that something that's actually within the realm of your control? Of course it is. What if you suffer from significant obesity? Well, yeah. What if you smoke cigarettes? Of course. Every aspect of your heart and your cardiovascular health is based on your ability to make a good decision or good choice. Okay? So, I find that very interesting. So that's called the triglyceride glucose index. And from what I can tell, the really sophisticated, you know, cardiologists and heart doctors, they're using this now. Because they're trying to find out who needs help and who needs to make some improvement. So all you do is you take your triglycerides, multiply that by your fasting glucose, and then divide it by the number 2,000. Or if you want to read the article, well, then that's good. Cardiovascular Diabetology, and that's going to be published January the 3rd, 2024. You know what? I'm going to start using that. I'm going to use that literally on every person that I talk to. So if I have a comprehensive metabolic panel, and I can see what their glucose numbers are, and they've had a lipid panel, and I can look at their triglycerides, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to use this on everybody now that I learned that. I've been playing with this for the last 15 minutes before I came on the air, just playing with numbers. And I'm kind of trying to think through it. You know what the bottom line is? Don't people want to know what the truth is? Don't they want to know what the real condition is? Of course they do. I mean, if you say that you want to improve your health, but you're not willing to look at the condition of your body, then I don't know if that's really true. I was reading this morning. I know I'm getting distracted. I'm so sorry. But here's what it said. I looked up the Greek word for believe, and I think in the Greek language it was called suo. I don't know if I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I'll try to correct it. But it meant, when I looked up the definition of suo, it was... in order to persuade to obey. So you know what I'm saying here. You hear something, it's true. So I'm not talking about your triglyceride to glucose index divided by the number 2,000 just to talk about it for the sake of having something to kill time on the radio. No, I want you to use that, because as those numbers improve, for example, what if you were like at 6.9 on the triglyceride to glucose index, and you actually made a concerted effort to help yourself, and so you said, you know what, I'm going to try to eat more protein, because if I get more protein, that means I'm going to be eating less carbohydrates, and then I'm going to start walking every day. Well, what if you go back just a month down the road? That doesn't take that long. And you have your fasting triglycerides, instead of being, you know, 300, all of a sudden now they're 125. Well, folks, that's a huge move in the right direction. And it's all based on you being willing to educate yourself and then write down some simple action steps. You know, isn't that what a verb is? It's action. So if you say, I've been walking for 30 minutes a day, every day faithfully. When I started out, I could only walk 10 minutes. I was out of air. Well, what if you start drinking water instead of Diet Pepsi all the time? That stuff is so toxic anyway. I have never seen an individual, health-wise, drink a diet soft drink of any kind, if it's sweetened with Splenda or aspartame, and ever seen their health improve. It's impossible. It can't happen. You've heard me mention this, and this is a slide getting off the rails here, but women that drink Diet Dr. Pepper, they have the highest risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. That should tell you something. Another study that came out recently showed that pregnant mothers that drink a diet soft drink every day give birth to children that have absolutely the highest occurrence of autism. Now, I'm not trying to say where on that spectrum they are, but do you want to have a child with severe autism? Well, the answer is no, you don't, or even mild. You want to give them every chance to be able to make it in this very hard, difficult world. So I thought I'd bring that up this morning, because there's a lot of people listening, and you might pull your labs out. So just look at it. Take your fasting triglyceride level, multiply that by your fasting glucose. Actually, I'm going to make it sound more simple. So let's just say your triglycerides are 100. We're going to multiply that by 100, which would be your fasting glucose. Are you with me on that? That comes to the number 10,000. That's an easy number. If we divide that by 2,000, what do we come up with? The number 5. See, you're already past the upper limit. That means you are at risk for developing heart, blood vessel, brain, embolism, clots, stroke, all that stuff. You don't want that. No way. Okay. Here's the next one I wanted to get to. I hope you find that useful. But I'm telling you, folks, this is like latest cutting-edge, you know, ways to figure out who's going to get sick. I know it takes work, but everything in this world that you want takes work and effort. Everything. Okay, this one right here, I'm a little bit shocked by this one. Because what I want to do is I want to explain something to you here. You already know this, but I'm going to explain it my way anyway. Quite often we see ads on either television, or maybe you're on the internet. Like in my case, if I'm looking up something that I find interesting, maybe on YouTube or an article, you may have a drug ad that pops up. And in that drug ad, you're going, wow, that's like really, really impressive. And so, for example, you've all heard of what's the name of the drug? Rats, I just had it here. It's a statin. It's one to lower cholesterol. I thought I just had it right here. Okay, this comes from the journal Neurology, September 4th, 2007. I can find that. Man, I am so sorry. I thought I had my act together this morning. Evidently, I don't. Oh, my goodness. I thought I read the name of the drug. I think it was atorvastatin. I'm so sorry, folks. See there, I'm not as prepared as I should have been. I should have written it down. I'm pretty good about taking notes and scribbling down details that I think are important. But I didn't get that one. So, here we go. Orbin, you're calling the wrong number. Orbin is calling the wrong number. Anyway, I can look at it and see it right now. Orbin, you just called the wrong number, dude. Anyway, so in this article, they make a claim that if you take a high-dose statin drug, that you're reducing the risk of having a stroke. Oh, I'm sorry. Patients that have had a stroke or a TIA, that stands for transient ischemic attack, they reduce the risk of a non-fatal stroke from 11.8% to 10.4% over a period of 5 years. But my point is, that's their whole sales pitch. They're going to get on television or on the computer-driven ads, and they're going to say, if you take this drug to lower cholesterol, it's called a statin, it lowers your risk of having a non-fatal stroke. Okay, that's true. But it lowers it from 11.8% risk to 10.4. Folks, you tell me, is that really that big of a statistical difference? I mean, is that basically 1.4% difference? That doesn't sound like much to talk about. If you told me that you had a money market account or a savings account or online savings, and it was offering, you know, statistically 1.4% better than others, would it really be worth that much to get 0.1% return on your investment versus 0.12? I don't know. That's just ridiculous. But here's what they don't tell you. They tell you it lowers your risk of a non-fatal heart attack, I mean non-fatal stroke. But here's the question I ask. What does it do to lowering the occurrence of, if you take a statin drug to lower your risk of having a non-fatal stroke, okay, that's what we're talking about. What does it do to the people that have a fatal stroke? Does it do anything to that? Oh, well, look at this right here. This doesn't look good at all. Okay, in this study, yeah, they had a relative reduction from 11.8% of a non-fatal stroke in the people that took the high amounts of statins. It's called the SPARKLE trial. Yeah, SPARKLE. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, sparkling right now. People that took the statins, they had 5 more deaths. It showed exactly a 66% increase in the relative risk of a hemorrhagic stroke among the patients receiving high dose, here it is, atorvastatin. I found it. To our knowledge, no statin trial has demonstrated a net reduction in all-cause mortality when studying primary or secondary prevention of strokes. Folks, did you see what that number said right there? 66% increase in a hemorrhagic stroke. I think there's two basic types of strokes. Number one, you got a ischemic stroke, that's where you may have a small, you know, clot that feeds, you know, a part of the brain, and you might go, I just, you know, not good. But a hemorrhagic stroke, folks, that's when your tire blows out, or you have a water hose on your car that blows up, or you have a crack in your fuel line and all the gas leaks out. Folks, when you have a hemorrhagic stroke, that's when an artery basically explodes open and all that blood just leaks out horribly. That is absolutely the worst thing that you could have. How dare they come up with an article saying, we got some good news for you. If you take atorvastatin for 5 years, there is a 11.8 to 10 point, it lowers slightly, reduction in a non-fatal stroke. But they don't tell you that the increase of fatal strokes and people dying is 66% higher. Is that really honest right there? I don't think it is. Anyway, let me go on to the next thing that I want to talk about. Now, directly, I hope you can remember some of these things and get some benefit from them. This next thing is something I'm legitimately trying to answer a question that a person asked me very directly in person, and they said they wanted to know, is it really true what I was saying? So I'm gonna read this to you right here. Okay. This is an article that I'm positive I have covered this one before. It comes from, okay, here it is. Well, I can't read the journal name, but it comes from, I think it's like British Medical Journal or British Medicine 2023 of March, March 29th. Okay, here's the title of the article. Association of regular glucosamine, which if you do not know what glucosamine is, it's a nutritional supplement. It usually comes from either the shells of some type of crustacean that lives in the ocean. If you want to know what a crustacean is, think a shelled organism. How about that? Okay, the title article is Association of Regular Glucosamine Use with the Incident of Dementia. Okay, it says evidence from a longitudinal cohort and Mendelian randomized study. I don't know what the word Mendelian means. I'd have to look that up. I think I know, but, you know, that's the what here. So in the past, you may have heard me talk about when I spoke about glucosamine as a supplement, that the very first way this supplement was promoted to the public was because it protects your joints. And you know what? I can't even tell you how many people I've seen with rotten backs, ruptured disc. And if they can just stick with glucosamine sulfate long enough, their pain begins to diminish because it's been shown to repair, you know, damaged joints, even intervertebral disc. Another study that I read shows that when people take glucosamine, they live longer or it reduces the risk of all-cause mortality. So that starts getting my attention. I start going, hey, Roy, what does that mean? Taking glucosamine reduces your risk of having a health problem. And then another article I came across showed that glucosamine supplementation, or the people that take it, reduces the risk of any cardiovascular disease. Well, I find that interesting. And then yet another article I came across shows that it reduces the risk of cancer. Okay, do you realize what I just mentioned right there? People that have bad joints, bad hearts, bad blood, cancer, and now we're talking about brain health. So you mean it protects all those or keeps them in better working order? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you would think that I'm making this up. One thing I don't want to do, you could ask me to do it and I'll be glad to do it, but I don't really want to. If you called me and said, Dr. Morgan, prove to us that taking a multiple vitamin mineral like Centrum or, you know, over-the-counter multiple vitamin, tell us what the benefits are. Well, I'm real sorry to tell you this, but I can't find them. So there's your short answer right there. I mean, even if I look at the long-term studies on taking a multiple vitamin, folks, there's just not a whole lot to show about that. There's just not. And so you tell me, would we rather focus our energy on something that's going to give you a big bang for the buck? I mean, I know this is not a fair question, but if you ask, well, sort of is to me. If you ask me, Dr. Morgan, would you rather take glucosamine every day or a multiple vitamin? Well, after you hear this, I think you're going to be just like me and you're going to say, if I've only got so much money to spend, I think I'm going to go more toward glucosamine than I am a multiple vitamin. Because if you put me to the test and you challenge me on that and say, show me the scientific or medical research or any proof that you can come up with that taking a multiple vitamin is really that great for the human body. Well, folks, I can't find it. So you're talking to the wrong person if you want me to recommend multiple vitamins. I'm not going to do that. I can tell you what I believe. I believe we need to run toward what is going to give a person the biggest bang for the buck to improve their health. Yeah, it's no mystery. I want to see every one of you listeners to be really radiant and strong and healthy. So here's the study right here. And you can start devising your own questions just like I do when I read these things, because I'm just kind of thinking through it a little bit here. Just use your wits that God gave you. Remember, you've got that big, beautiful brain. You need to use it. I told myself that this morning, talking to me. Okay. Researchers at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology analyzed the data of nearly 494,814 Brits. Those are Brits are people from Britain. they captured these in the UK Biobank project. Okay, the average study participant was 55 years old. Not 45, not 35, not 65, but 55. Don't know how important that is, but I can tell you this, 55 is usually an age where things start breaking down. How do you like them apples? Okay. Well, you're going to ask, okay, they were 55 at the average. How long did they do this study for? Well, it says the researchers, they followed the participants for 9 years. So it's not a 9-day study or a 9-week or 9-month, it's 9 years. I would venture a guess that 9 years is a pretty good length of time to find out how do the bodies break down over 9 years. So you go from 55, add 9 years, and you got 64. You know there's a thing called aging, don't you? Okay, you're with me on that. During the study, 2,458 participants have been diagnosed with some form of dementia. Okay, that's out of almost a 500,000. The researchers knew the lifestyle of the study participants, so they also knew that 19% of them used glucosamine. Oh, isn't that interesting? So what's the result here? Supplementation reduced the risk of dementia by 20%. Okay, I'm not going to find a multiple vitamin study that says if you take a daily multiple vitamin that you're going to reduce the risk of dementia by 20%. It ain't going to happen. I mean, if you have a study that just came out today and it says that, I will retract that last statement and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, but I just hadn't seen that. The researchers found that after they had brushed off or corrected the effect of as many other factors as possible with their statistics, if they looked exclusively at vascular dementia, the reduction in the risk of dementia was an even 28%. Folks, that's huge to me. If they had a drug, a pharmaceutical drug that they had a patent for, and it cost $6,000 a pill, and they could get a 28% reduction in dementia, folks, it'd be a hot-selling drug. Okay. If somebody has an MRI of their brain, it's called magnetic resonance imaging, and they kind of look at the brain, and you see that the radiologist writes the comment, microvascular ischemic changes, or what I usually read is chronic microvascular ischemia. Well, what do you think that means? That means the arteries or the little capillaries are so clogged up, you can't get enough blood flow to the brain. That's one of the, in my mind, that's one of the main causes. It'd be in the top three, if you ask me, if you said, what is one reason why people develop dementia or Alzheimer's? And I'd just respond and say, because they are not getting enough blood, oxygen, and nutrients to the brain cells, to the neurons. That's it. That's probably one of the biggest reasons right there. So, you know, you need to improve your blood flow to your brain. Okay? Well, they ask the question, well, how does this actually work? Okay, this is the part that I always like to read. I don't know if anybody else digs this stuff, but if I can find out how something works, it starts giving me some confidence, something I can, you know, believe in. That's called suo in the Greek. Okay, glucosamine. It's a supplement that can pass through the blood-brain barrier. That comes from Biomedical Biochemical Journal, 1985. So, 1985... Man, I was in chiropractic college in 1985. Isn't that something? That was like yesterday. Okay, they go on to say that glucosamine may actually make its way to the hippocampus. And I thought to myself, hippocampus? Well, what's that? So if you typed in, what is the hippocampus, you're going to find out something that's very, very interesting. You're going to find out that one of the main jobs of the hippocampus is short-term memory. All right, are you with me on that? So in order for you to remember things or to learn new things and to have good balanced emotions, meaning you don't want to have a lot of anxiety, you want to have a really good-sized hippocampus. Because when they do an MRI, that's one of the ways they determine, it's probably like one of the most accurate tests they have to determine if you've got dementia or Alzheimer's. And I may be wrong about this, but I think one study shows if you're 75, that's just a made-up number, and they do an MRI of the brain of a loved one that's got maybe memory loss, if they image the hippocampus and the radiologist measures it, you know, with his ruler, and it's about 18 to 20% smaller compared to people that don't have dementia and don't have memory loss, then bingo, you got Alzheimer's or dementia. Okay? So all I'm saying is you want to have a very healthy hippocampus. And you know what? The thing of it is, this is not that hard. Man, I just whacked the microphone accidentally. Here I am talking with my hands. Nobody can see it, but I... Anyway, how do you get your hippocampus to stay in good working order? Well, this article is saying that if you take glucosamine sulfate, somehow or another, it keeps your hippocampus in good working order. I'm telling you, folks, some of y'all need to write that down right now. Is it better to wait until you have full-blown dementia and Alzheimer's to take action to try to turn it around, or is it better to prevent it from occurring in the first place? Well, you already know the answer to that. How does the old statement or the phrase go? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Okay, here's how it works right here. And I did not know this. And so, even though the woman asked me this question, she said, how does that work? I thought to myself, do I even know how that works? I mean, I knew it worked. I remember the study. But I didn't know the how. And this is the how right here. And this is interesting. So I know earlier I talked about the triglyceride to the glucose index as being one of the most valuable, most recent findings in medicine to predict who's going to have heart problems or strokes. Okay? Very valuable to me. I think so anyway. And now we've got a blood test called C-reactive protein. You're calling the wrong number, Orban. I can read it on the phone. I know what he's doing. He's telling me to stop talking and answer his phone call. All right, the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Okay, call the number and I'll answer it. I'll stop what I'm doing. But until he calls, here's what happens. When you take glucosamine, it lowers C-reactive protein. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I called you last week, and you told me about zero-drop shoes. I have a question. I've done my research on it, but I have very high arches, and it talks about that, putting your foot, you know, flat and so forth. I wear orthotics in my shoes. Can I wear my orthotics in those, or do I need them? And I will go ahead and tell you that I have been walking. I've been putting my feet in grass, and I don't have any more foot pain that I thought was the nerve. And you said it, you know, you told me it wasn't, which I believed you. And so I've been doing those things, and I've been sitting on my balcony and putting my feet up so the sun can hit the bottom of my feet and my body. So I've been doing all those things, and before I buy those shoes, I wanted to ask you about my arch.
Ma'am, I need you to bear with me. I'm getting really lightheaded, like I might fall over and pass out. Wait a second. Did I hear you correctly? You did what I said?
Well, I always...
Oh, my goodness. I'm about... hang on. My chair's going backwards right now. I don't know if I can stop it. Okay, that was a close call. Hang on. Let me take a deep breath. That was a close call. I thought I almost blacked out when you told me you did that stuff. Okay. I think I have it together again. I'm with you. Okay, so you can try that. And really, I'm very proud of you. You know, really, in the real world, that's all that matters is taking action. Run toward the problem. You're a good girl. You get an A+ on your report card. You can try it both ways. You can take a risk or a leap of faith, and you can try walking in zero-drop shoes or walking barefoot without your orthotics. You know what? When you're walking in the grass, you're not wearing your orthotics. You're just barefoot.
Right.
This is God's design. So you can try it either way and try to find out if it does work. What if it defies your logic and all of a sudden it works better than with orthotics? Then who's right? Wait a second. I think I'm remembering what you said a while ago. My chair's just still starting to fall backwards. Hang on. You know what? I'm going to ask Randy if he can install either some padding behind the control booth in case I pass out and fall over, or I need a seat belt of some kind, maybe some airbags in case I am shocked by what I hear.
Might be a good idea.
You're right. So does that answer the question that you can try it both ways? But I did tell you, though, you don't adapt to the zero-drop shoes in one day. You need to think in terms of wearing them a little bit every day, and if your feet start to ache, just take them off, and like you said last week, your sandals. So We've got, you're trying to get your body to adapt and to heal, so I am so proud of you.
Well, I'll tell you.
I think the blood flow is really going back to my brain now. I'm thinking more clearly.
Okay, good. You have any more advice for me?
I think you've got plenty to work with, young lady.
You're right.
My advice is don't give up.
Oh, no. When I get results like this in 1 week, I am not going to give up, for sure.
So would you say that just maybe you've had some positive results?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, good job. Look at you. And see, the thing of it is, there's no telling how many other very sweet ladies like you that are very nice like you are just heard what you said and said, you know what, maybe I can try that too. So you probably just encouraged a whole bunch of people.
I hope I did. I really did.
You did.
I hope I did. Okay. Well, Dr. Morgan, you have a great week.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, there is a phone line open. Orban, you're calling the wrong number. You got to call the 903-589-8507 number. Anyway, I know. Oh, wait a second. Someone's calling. Let me see if I can push the button. Oh, you would be so proud of me. That was a close call. I almost passed out, but I didn't. I was shocked for a second. I'm back online now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a question to ask you. My mother is she's has cancer all over her body, but she's her body's producing a lot of phlegm and mucus where it's choking her. She's spitting and spitting and spitting, and I just wondering, is there anything that she could take naturally to stop that?
Yeah, let's try to dissolve all that mucus. And so, do you have a pencil handy?
Hold on.
Or a pen. Sometimes all I have in my hand is a crayon. even that might work for you if you can write notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we want to do or think about is how can we naturally dissolve some of the mucus in the body? And so step number one is to eat more protein. The more protein that your mother eats, the less mucus she's going to produce, as opposed to the more carbohydrates and the sugar and the more dairy products, the more mucus you're going to have every single time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do the high protein Ensure and the...
No, that's just pure sugar. That's all it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Look, spin the label around and take a look at it. You are literally going to be shocked at the amount of sugar that's in...
Well, she can't even eat now. She just does broth.
Okay, well, bingo, there you go. That's beautiful what you just said. So if she has beef broth or bone broth or chicken broth or fish broth, just give her a lot of that. The other thing that you might do is you might try marinating. Actually, I got to be careful how I'm saying that. Let me say it differently. Mm-hmm. Fish is by far and away the easiest protein to break down. So I've seen people that didn't even have teeth. Can your mom swallow?
No, she chokes.
Well, then how does she drink the Ensure then?
Just barely sip it, and then she coughs and carries on like she's about to die.
So what she can do is she can start sipping. You can make her a cup of tea. I'm kind of partial to hibiscus tea, but probably the best tea to make her for all this phlegm, it's going to be one that has two herbs in it. One's called mullein. I'm going to spell that.
Okay.
I may have gotten this one wrong also. Would you please promise not to tell anybody that spelling's an issue with me?
I am bad at spelling.
Okay, there's an herb called mullein. It's spelled M-U-L-L-E-I-N. It may be the other way. Let me try it the other way. No, I still think it's E-I-N. It doesn't look right the other way to me. So they have another one called licorice root. So if you found an herbal tea that has mullein and licorice root, that is going to help dissolve this gunky phlegm in your mama's throat and mouth.
Okay.
So she can swallow better. So, but what you do is, the other trick is, you just add some, little bit of fresh lemon juice, maybe a teaspoon, like a half a teaspoon of raw honey. I know she's got cancer, but I'm trying to get her to where she can swallow. But add about 2 teaspoons of what's called Bragg's apple cider vinegar. And if she will start sipping on that, the other tea that you can buy right now is called throat coat tea. But if your mama starts sipping on that, then she's going to start doing better and better. The next thing we got to do is, we got to wheel her out into the sunshine. If we can point her body toward the sun, and the sun can directly touch her throat and her chest, then we can start to resolve this. But if she can, swallow and sure, just in small, even if you phrase it to me that way, if you say, Dr. Morgan, all she can do is, I can put a drop of Ensure on her tongue, and that's all she can handle, then she can take a drop of salmon and chew that up and swallow that.
Okay.
Does she have any teeth?
Yes, she's got all the teeth.
Then we need to put them to use by chewing.
Well, see, that we've been dealing with this for a couple of months now, and just getting worse, and I told Mom, I said, well, really, your only alternative is a feeding tube, because she's went from 175 to 105. That's all she weighs. She's just skin over.
Well, what's the deal with chewing food? Tell me, explain it to me.
Well, she can't swallow anything that touches. Once it goes, when you swallow and it touches something in her throat, she starts coughing and carrying, and she throws everything right back out. It comes all right back out. But then I gave her a smashed up half banana yesterday. It stayed down.
Well, that's a big time mucus former right there. Don't do that. You didn't know that.
No, and avocado. I tried to smash it, whip up stuff. Then I gave her creamy white gravy over a little bit of mashed potato. Something that gets, she's so hungry. And so I was like,
are you kidding? I'm starving to death just thinking about what your poor mama's going through.
Yes, and I hate that. But I thought, well, what can
I do? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put her out in the sunshine. You know, it's going to be like 10 o'clock this morning. I'll meet you out there. Do you need me to bring some duct tape to tape her to the chair so she won't make a run for it?
No, my mama, she's got lawn shirts. We can go out there and sit.
You just may have to go out there and swat the mosquitoes as they try to carry her off.
Yeah.
And so you're going to start giving it. You're doing so good at taking care of your mama. When I heard you say broth a while ago, I thought, oh, my goodness, we got it like incredible.
The bone broth, it's very, I don't care what it costs. I got her that.
Well, I know. I'm with you on that. And so what you're going to do is, you're going to start blending up fish and put it in the bone broth. And she's just going to be making her own soup. I'm sorry. You're going to be making the soup, and she's the one that's going
to
be drinking the soup.
Too.
So, you know what? What you'll do is, you'll make a big pot of soup. I'll come over to test it to make sure it's safe for everybody to eat. I mean, morally, that's my job. And then, I'll eat the stuff that has, carrots and onions in it, and celery and everything else.
I love cookbooks, so I bought an old cookbook, and it had it's old-fashioned creamy tomato soup, and it was made in a restaurant.
Okay, can she drink that?
Well, I cooked it, made it all, and then I strain it and just give her the broth, and it was so good.
And what happened?
She ate it up like she...
Oh, my goodness. Ma'am, do you realize you are a genius? See, if this... Okay. Can I be negative for a second?
Yeah.
I know what they'd do at the hospital. They'd give her breakfast. It'd be like some really cold powdered eggs. Yuck. Then they'd give her a big honking cinnamon roll with a ton of sugar. You know what I say to that? Yuck. That's stupid. Yeah. Then they give her a big thing of chocolate milk, going, oh, let's just give her some Ensure. But what you just gave her, that broth-based, tomato-based soup.
Yeah.
Now we got some nutrition. You got a plan, so we're going to give it to her all day long. Mm-hmm. We've got to recondition her body to heal, and you got to give her the vinegar if we want to stimulate her stomach to digest protein.
Okay.
You tell her, I say,
how many hours a day?
Every time your mother complains, I'm going to punish her with a spoonful of soup.
She's not a complainer. She's angry.
I know. I'm only just joking about it. So you've got the plan. You got a blender,
right?
But we got to go from one to the next eventually. And I'm being serious about this one. If she doesn't start chewing, then there's no way she can heal. Chewing has a large association with what's called BDNF. That stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's like fertilizer for the brain. Mm-hmm. If she will just start chewing something, then she could actually regain her ability to swallow if she can chew.
Yeah, I told what she's done is, I said, Mom, just I bought her things. She's been so hungry, and I could just chew it. Some of the stuff's going down, and then she spits it out. Chew.
Well, tell me specifically, what does she spit up?
She has to spit up.
What does she spit up? Is it a T-bone steak she spits up, or what? Tell me what it is. What does she spit up?
Okay, just regular meat like chicken.
Okay, I thought we were beyond all that. That's what the blender and the soup is for. She can't spit that up.
I mean, anything blended. Anything, even like the gravy, if you, it has a...
Well, I know, but I'm sorry, ma'am. You're giving her food that's mucus formers. When you give her gravy and bananas and sugar... Things that break up mucus are going to be stuff like lemon. Why don't you make her a lemonade today?
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm going to offer you a money-back guarantee on the lemonade. If she spits it up, I will pay you for it, as long as it doesn't cost more than 12 cents to make a glass of it.
Okay.
I actually don't think that's possible. Lemons are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give you a question. How many lemons do I have on my lemon tree right now?
You don't have a lemon tree, do you?
I do, yeah.
You do? Probably about a dozen.
You're really close. It's exactly 17. I count them every day when I go and water it.
I want to grow a lemon tree. I did once. And it didn't
it's super easy. You know what? I can tell you what. If you give them fish emulsion, they will.
Okay.
I start walking toward the lemon tree, and it says, oh, here comes Roy. He loves me. Well, I mean, maybe not with audible words, but I can kind of feel the love, you know.
Yeah, I do all that you said about the lemon juice on my aching muscles and on the...
If you'll start giving your mama these things, she's gonna do it. Tell her that I believe in her.
Okay.
What's your mama's first name?
Shirley.
Oh, my goodness. I love that name, Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I could call her Miss Shirley, but I have another lady that I love very much that I call her Miss Shirley.
Yeah.
She's just like a great, great lady. See, this is going to have a good ending because we're going to start getting your mom stronger starting today. So we're going to sunbathe her every single day because I don't want her burnt.
Mm-mm, no.
I didn't say go to Galveston and you and Shirley lay on the beach for 14 hours.
No, Alzheimer's. We'll go out and fish.
Yeah, and just keep the bugs away from her. That's a full-time job right there. Okay, well, we've got a working plan. You got to tell her this. Her only job right now is to start chewing. That is her job. If she won't...
What does chewing do? I mean,
it causes the brain to grow, and if the brain grows, then you can start. You can have better function across the board. You go from not walking to walking. What now?
I took care of a little lady one time. I was a caregiver for 23 years, and she said she chewed her food 21 times before she swallowed. It took a long time for me to feed her.
How long did she live?
A long time.
Well, shoot me a number.
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
She was probably 86.
So that's your mother's only job today. We're going to write on a sheet of paper, what's my goal today is to chew. And so if you have to, you could always go to a store like Drug Emporium and you could buy some xylitol-based chewing gum. There's one called, what's it called, Spry? Yeah, that's going to describe your mama. Your mama's going to become Spry. But she's got to start chewing if she wants to fix this. That's the only way that we're going to clear her throat is if she can start chewing.
Okay.
Now, if that doesn't work, they sell these electric shock collars at PetSmart, and if the person doesn't do what I want, then we start pushing the button on. You know I'm just joking about that, don't you? Okay.
Yes. We probably don't have time today, but...
You mean to go to PetSmart?
I have another thing. It's a serious thing. My cousin, we're the same age. She has cirrhosis of the liver and maybe cancer. And I had wrote down, I found some of it for the detox of the liver.
Ma'am, I just read an article this morning saying that butyrate fixes cirrhosis of the liver. Butyrate. Butyrate. Well, in the common word is called, see if you can write this one down.
Okay.
B-U-T-T-E-R. What does that spell?
Butter.
It contains butyrate.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a horrible Rick. What now?
What do you do to...
Oh, I know. This is going to be a complicated application here. It's probably going to be called a sweet potato with B-U-T-T-R on it. And then it's going to be broccoli, I think that has two C's, with B-U-T-T-E-R on it.
Okay.
Do we want to keep doing more radical stuff? We're going to make her some green beans with B-U-T-T-E-R on it.
Does it matter what kind of butter? Because I was doing
now you're making it really, really complicated. Okay, if I spell B-U-T-T-E-R, what other kind is there?
There's some fresh from the dairy.
All right. Well, if you got a neighbor that's got a... We had a Guernsey cow growing up. I'm all for making butter. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah, I know a guy that he sells his butter, fresh milk, fresh everything.
Yeah.
Right down here in Jacksonville.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. What is that, Wally's?
Yeah, I drove down there and bought like 5 gallons of fresh milk and butter and sour cream and...
Well, so butter is one of the things, but you know her problem with psoriasis. She's just load her body up with too much either alcohol or sugar. Same thing.
Yeah, alcohol drugs. Yeah.
Anyway, so healing is available for those that try. And so what I want for your mother today is
anything.
Well, your mom's job is one thing. You know they have a device called Jawsercise, but she just needs to start chewing something.
Okay. Well, see that she. Well, she does do a lot because Lewis sat there. I said, go ahead and do it. Don't bother me because she'd chew and chew and chew. But when she did try it, she'd start coughing and choking, and it comes right out.
Oh, ma'am, you can't give her like an old chunk of gristly T-bone steak. You can't do that.
I mean anything. She can't.
No. We've already covered this. Yeah, no, it's not anything.
That's right.
If it's broth-based soup, chew it. If it's tomato soup, chew it. If you got to get her some Spry gum, chew it.
I'm going to get that gum. Maybe she could do that.
Well, I tell you what, I've given you about the easiest protocol of all time. If you can't do these things, I mean, what do I have to do? Go to the house and make her jaws move manually? ma'am, we're going to have to relearn how to chew? No, she...
Because I told her several weeks, I was trying to get through to you and I never could. So I told her, she goes, have you called him yet? I said, I'm trying, Mom, but I can't ever get through.
Yeah, your mom's going to say, "What really, what did Dr. Morgan say today? Mom, chew.
Let's all chew together. Let's go.
I didn't recommend chewing tobacco, though. I didn't say that.
Oh, no.
All right, you got plenty to work on. I've told you the truth about all these things.
Yes.
And just remember, I might be right about this. Just maybe.
No, oh, I know you are. Okay.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, there's plenty of time left in the program if you want to call. The number, if you want to call the actual line that gets into the station. Now, oh, my goodness. After 10 times, he figured it out. This is great. Good morning. Welcome to... Okay, he hung up on me. That is rude. I'm just joking. Here, we're going to try again. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, I finally did it right.
Well, what, young man, what were you thinking 7 times earlier?
Oh, goodness gracious. Everything I did was wrong.
No, it's okay. We're all learning. And it is a new phone number, so I am going to give you as much grace as possible.
Thank you, doctor. I was going to tell you, I was a hip. You know, you were talking about the hippocampus.
Hippocampus, yep.
Yeah. I was hip on the campus when I went to a junior college called HCJC. Have you ever heard of HCJC?
That's where I graduated from. Did you know that I graduated from HCJC?
No, I did not.
Does that mean we're basically alumni?
Just as much as we were when we were the Pasadena kids.
Did you know that I used to live in Pasadena?
I sure did.
Man, we have so much in common.
We used to ride our bicycles together in the fogging machine.
Do you know that I am all for panning for gold in a very cold Alaskan stream if I just knew where that gold was?
I'm still trying to coordinate a trip back, and I do know where gold is, and if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Sir, I do not believe you. I need you to write down the exact GPS coordinates and mail them to me, and then I'll verify that.
If I could get you and we'd go on a road trip, you would have the trip of a lifetime, I guarantee.
It would be the trip of a lifetime, you're right. Now, would we find enough gold to cover our expenses? That's the real question.
That's the only thing I can't guarantee.
Oh, rats. But the trip would be worth it, right?
I've had a lot of people tell me, Auburn, I'd go up there with you and go to where you live for 20 years, even if I didn't find a speck of gold. And that God blessed me with that opportunity, and I'm overdue for another trip back.
Okay.
I was going to tell you also, you know, you were talking about butter.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sell butter for this lady. Her name was Betty Butter. Have you ever heard of her?
Say her name one more time slowly.
Betty Butter.
Betty Boulder. No, that's the first time I've been introduced to her name.
Okay, you want to hear all about Betty Boulder? I can tell you real fast.
Yeah, tell me.
Betty Boulder bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter, and if I put it in my batter, it'll make my batter bitter. So she bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made her bitter batter better, so with better Betty Boulder bought a bit of better butter. You got it?
Yeah, I think I followed that. What I want to know is, where's the cookies, the butter cookies on the counter?
We'll
That's funny.
We'll take a load with us. Okay.
The only way that you could remember that is if your hippocampus is working. Evidently, yours has not severely atrophied or gone into disrepair.
I was really hip on that campus at HCJC.
Well, I was not. I have, you know what? I need to be more like you. I have never been hip. You're one of the cool guys. I'm one of the, oh man, if I could only be like Orban.
Yeah, but you didn't have any trouble with the law when you did stuff like skinned a coyote out and hung it up in front of the girls' dormitory at HCJC.
Oh my good, that was you? They've been talking about that ever since.
That was like in the little, I had a, believe it or not, I had a little still in my dormitory room.
And, yeah.
They all,
the scripture that says be still is not what you're referring to.
Yeah, be still, know that I'm the Lord. That's the scripture I love.
Man, Orban, how did you survive junior college? How did you not get arrested and thrown into the pokey?
Well, three different times I came very close to getting expelled. Sure did.
But you made
it. Yeah, in 1974, I was born again. I quit doing all that nonsense.
Yeah, that was just a little bit before I went to HCJC.
Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you a question real quick.
I don't think I have time because I'm out of time now.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Again,
that sounds good.
Number, okay?
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks, you have a great weekend. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.